You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hi, villains, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast. It's Neil and Paddy back again. We're here to talk to you in the aftermath of the Aston Villa Wolverhampton Wanderers 0-0 draw. Very much so, a game of two halves at Villa Park yesterday on Saturday, the 6th of March. I don't know. I've kind of really said everything that kind of happened in the game. Well, I haven't. You know, there was a couple of things that happened in that game, and I'm ably assisted, as always, by the wonderful Paddy Kelly on today's podcast. How are you doing, Paddy? And how are things in your life at the moment?
Good evening. All is good. Lovely weekend. Villa are safe. Yep. Officially.
Yeah.
Look, we just got to look on the bright side. We had a pretty poor second half, and we'll get to that in a while. But I'm good. Can't complain.
Good. Yeah, and you mentioned there the Villa are safe, and it's usually you that's cracking open a can. I realised last night I hadn't drank in a while. I didn't have anything to celebrate Villa's mathematically, more or less, not being able to be relegated at the moment. And it is me that is going to crack open a can this time. Oh, that was fairly wake. This is a Wicklow Wolf Mammoth IPA. Oh Jesus, I should have checked the ABV on this before I actually poured it in. It's 7%. So yeah, when I pass out later on, Paddy, you can take the reins. This is good. Oh, it smells. Jesus, that smells lovely. Anyway, I'm going to enjoy this halfway through. If you hear me slurping,
cheers.
God, yeah.
Cheers. No beer for me. No beer for me tonight.
Paddy's on the Coca-Cola. Oh, there's a tang off that. I had
too many beers last night celebrating that we're safe. I'm just going to say it was celebrating that we were safe. Not that he need any reason. We were, I was on a Zoom quiz after the game last night and I was fairly mellow, I should say.
did you win the quiz?
No, didn't win the quiz.
Ah, well, it's the taking part that counts, isn't it? Yeah.
Means we have to host it next week. I thought all these days were behind us, but anyway, that's life.
I know, it's such is life. And back to the game, I suppose, as well. Villa, you know, if there was a Zoom quiz, I think with our second half performance, Aston Villa would be hosting the Zoom quiz next week, you know, after that second half performance. But we'll go in chronological order because I think it just keeps a small bit more of a structure to the game. And first of all, Paddy, team sheet gets announced. Yes. Two talking points on it. Start with that one.
We obviously had the inclusion of Morgan Sanson, which we'd been kind of crying out for. and was happy to see him there. Luis came back in. Trezeguet and Traore. So it posed a lot of questions. We eventually got the answer with El Ghazi having an issue with his toe, some kind of infection or something in the toe. Mm. So that's fair enough. Ramsey probably unlucky to miss out, but you know what? He's one for the future. To blood him in, have him there is important. Sanson, we spent a lot of money on him. It was time to see him, and you know, I think he was worthwhile for his selection. He put a shift in for us. Yeah, no surprises across the back, and no real surprises on the bench either. I don't think there was any change at all, other than Philogene Bedeis coming in for obviously Anwar El Ghazi, who dropped out completely. Mm.
It was great to see him on the bench, I suppose, really, you know, with all the fanfare of him signing his deal during the week. It was really fantastic, I suppose, to see that, you know, to see him there and the leap of faith, I suppose, that Dean Smith gave him. We've asked the question, you know, about 19-year-olds making their way onto this team. This kind of answers it. Dean Smith's going to give you a chance. You know, there was three academy products on that team there under the age of 19 or younger in Kane Hayden Kessler, Jacob Ramsey and Jacob Philogene Bedeis as well, you know. So that's a great sign for this Aston Villa Football Club, that not only are we getting a nil-all draw against Wolves and having three guys from our academy that are under the age of 20 on this team, I'm just after realizing it now, that is massive progress. Jesus, we wouldn't have been able to do that last year.
No.
Absolutely wouldn't.
We wouldn't have been able to give anyone an opportunity last year the way we were playing. So, you know, I know people were slagging me saying we were staying up. It was a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I knew we were staying up a long time ago and there was never going to be any danger. But as you say, it's progress. It's all progress. To just even go back 12 months to when football shut down and we were in a bad, bad place and we didn't see any way out of it. It's the anniversary this week of getting hammered by Leicester. Isn't that correct? We got hammered by Leicester just before lockdown.
7th of March, I was going to, because I'm so very cultured, I was going to a jazz concert in the Borgosh Theatre here in Dublin, because I'm supremely cultured. And it was probably the last time I drank a pint in a pub. And that would have been the 7th of March last year. I think there might have been once. I think there was once when my mates had a child in August. But apart from that, yeah, that would have been the last time. And I remember I didn't see the Leicester game and I was texting you beforehand. And then when I came out, I saw it was 4-0. And then I think I turned off my phone. And I can't text Paddy after that. He's going to be in some bad mood. I think it was the 7th of March. I'm almost certain it was either 7th or the 9th of March.
I can actually remember that happening because it was the night before I had been to a concert. I was at the Script in the Tree Arena.
Yeah.
There's an anniversary of all these bad things happening at the moment. Last time I was at a game would have been last week. Last concert would have been this week, and then it's the anniversary. I think today of that 4-0 would be right because it was a Saturday evening, if I remember correctly.
Yep. Yeah, it was. Yeah, absolutely was. Yeah. And Jesus, yeah. When I think about it now, 1 year ago, and I sat shoulder to shoulder with actual people, no such thing as a mask.
Crazy.
And we all live to tell the tale, I hope. Actually, Jesus, that's, we mightn't have. I can't say it for certain. Long may it continue, I suppose. Hopefully we're out the other side, is what I should really be saying. The complete opposite, yeah. Long may it continue. Anyway, going back, I just remembered something as well there, Paddy. We mentioned that Anwar El Ghazi had an infected toe. Am I right in saying the infected toes and Villa strikers / wide men go hand in hand? Am I right in saying that Darius Vassell took a power drill to his toe because it was an infection and he wanted to lance it himself?
That's a new one on me.
I'm 99% to 110% certain that under the second Graham Taylor regime, Vassell had an infection or a blood bubble in his toe. or something like that. And he wanted to get rid of it before a game. And he took a drill to burst it, and it ended up getting infected. I'm 100% certain that that happened. I'm not going to Google it here on the actual podcast because if anybody out there can confirm my memory, I'm going to say it was 2003 because Bonkers. That would ring true.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. I'm nearly 100% certain that this, because I remember Graham Taylor going nuts over it. And I remember there being a big thing happening, or a big piece around it as the Vassell was out. And I think he was most likely on the England panel as well, or in and around the England squad as well when that happened. But can't remember. But brings a new meaning to do it yourself, DIY, B&Q job on it. So we'll see. But if anybody out there,
what's even worse is he admitted to it, obviously, and told the truth.
I don't know, or maybe Graham Taylor was just throwing him under the bus, because I remember it was Graham Taylor that came out and said it at the time, and he was pretty pissed off about it. But if someone can tell me if I'm on the right path with that or not, then please do let us know. But as you mentioned, Anwar Ghazi was out of the reckoning for yesterday's game, and it meant that people like Trezeguet and Morgan Sanson and Traore were restored to the team as well. So, Paddy, we started off okay. We came out of the blocks pretty well. And I thought
we started very well. I thought, you know, for the majority of the first half, for all the first half, we were the better side. They had little cameos here and there, but they struggled. Obviously, we know as time went on, they got better, and it was the proverbial game of two halves. But we did. We started very well. They regrouped at halftime. But, you know, we could have very easily been 2-0 up, having hit the woodwork twice. And my God, that Ollie Watkins strike, if it had gone in, we'd have been talking about it forever, I think. It was just some hit. And he probably had a better option to slip. I think it was Trezeguet who just got inside him. An opportunity was there to slip him in, and he didn't. And I was going, what are you doing? Next thing he shoots and... Jeez, an outrageous shot, rattles the crossbar. But it was a relatively good, like that was, I think that was fairly early on as well. It was about 5 minutes in, was it?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly when it was. I don't remember the exact timing, but it was early on. He was lightning. Ollie Watkins came to play in the first half, and I think he knew that it was going to be a case for boy. I think we saw the team that potentially the service might be a bit lower, a bit less than he's used to. Mm. He was going to have to plough his own furrow. He had Dendonker looking for him every single time. Remember you mentioned Dendonker at the start as being, in the preview, as being a potential weak link. Ollie Watkins took him for a walk in the first half. And I know that he got a small bit injured, Dendonker, at the end of the first half, but it wasn't his best half of football, let's just say, Dendonker. And when we get to the second half, I think his composure and the fact he worked himself back into the game was a huge reason why Wolves were so much more sure than were able to get on the ball. But Watkins batters the crossbar, and then he has another shot then saved. I think he had a shot saved, and then he tried to slip Bertrand Traore through when he probably should have taken a shot himself after he turned Conor Cody. But he was lively. Ollie Watkins was lively. He had six shots throughout the course of the game. And look, that's kind of, I know people might say six shots and no goals, that's, you know, that's a poor return, but literally, like he had to do it all himself, you know, for good portions of that game. So I thought he was very, very good.
I thought he was excellent throughout the game. If I'm being hypercritical, I was very annoyed at him for not taking on that shot himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Having like striker's instinct, you expect him just to try and burst the net himself, like. But he opted to play Bertrand through, and it probably was the wrong decision, I thought. I think, If you got the guts to be shooting like that from 25 yards, if you can get into a position 7 or 8 yards out, put your bloody foot through it. And that's, you know, just being a little bit critical there. But I thought that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah. It was, yeah, the one that hit the crossbar was on the 3rd minute as well there. I just found it. Mm. But other good performances, I thought, in the first half was, I thought Ahmed Mohammadi was, I thought he was very good. I thought he had a very good first half. He was not taking prisoners. He was tackling. Like, he was getting in there. He was leaving shoulders in there. He was getting in amongst the Dama Traore. He wasn't shadowing him. He wasn't standing off him. He came to leave a bit on Dama Traore. And I think it suited him. It's not something I've seen much of El Mohamedy. Well, not this year anyway, not in the previous games, but I think it suited him. I think when he was more aggressive in the tackle, now granted that he might have needed to, because he had to take him on further up the field as opposed to having a cushion, because he just didn't want Traore to run at him. And that's understandable. But when he got in amongst him, and they actually ended up having to swap Traore and Neto for a portion of that first
half.
They
did, because towards the end of it, they switched him over, and it was actually, I had a little giggle. That, you know, I was thinking of the fact that we were worried about Elmo being in there against him, and he just didn't get any change. He's the kind of player, if you tackle him hard early on, he goes missing, and he tries to play a lot deeper than you are and look for the ball to keep away from you. We've all played with players like that in our lives, I think. And I was delighted to see Elmo getting stuck into him. And then when I saw him switch over, I thought, oh, this fella has no interest here.
Paddy, are you suggesting that Dama Traore isn't up for the fight and that they are just disco muscles that he has? No, is that what you're...
I'm telling you, there's no fight in that man whatsoever. I haven't watched him over the years. He's all flair and no fight.
Yeah. He oils up the arms as well before he goes out. Look, teach their own. I'd love to have guns like him, but if I did, I'd probably be playing a different sport.
And then tell people it's because he doesn't want people pulling his arm.
It's natural. I don't go to the gym. It's natural. I don't go to the gym.
I don't live.
No, he mightn't. He mightn't. if he doesn't, then if I ever have a daughter, if I need to get in that gene pool somewhere, so I'm putting it out there. I'll put a dowry on my unborn daughter if he doesn't have to go to the gym. God knows that it might counteract my lack of genetic. Physical makeup, I think. So, when yet another tangent, but if you are listening to Dama Traore, we'll wait. If I have a daughter, she's, we'll work something out. who else played well? The Consumis, Paddy.
Yeah, disappointing. So, what can you do? It's a centre half's shot, really, you know. You just kind of hoped it would come to somebody more composed than Ezri Konsa. Now, I know he has got the odd goal here and there, but it was actually the kind of one you wanted the Watkins to hit, the one that I mentioned earlier. hit it with that kind of power and hope that it goes in. But I just thought he could have been more measured with the strike, and it's unfortunate. Look, it wasn't as bad as the miss that we'll get to later on in the game, but it's definitely one we left behind for sure.
Anyone else really stand out for you in that first half? I think there's a name that I haven't brought up yet, but anyone else for you?
I thought in general we were excellent in the first half. I thought Trezeguet done very well, considering he's been out for a while. He worked his nuts off, in fairness to him, and that's all you want them to do. Considering when the team was named, I got a bit excited that he would have played on the right, and we got an opportunity to see Bertie on the left. And my thinking there was, because we struggled so much to break down, Sheffield in midweek, I was there going, okay, this makes sense. We'll put a left footer on the left, a right footer on the right, and they'll attack the byline and pull the ball back. But it didn't work out that way. They set them up as a direct replacement and played Trezeguet down the left. And we ran more direct at them. Well, they were more open, I suppose, than Sheffield United, where our most teams in the bottom half that we've played lately that have doubled up on us and defended in a pack. The game is very open from the start, although we had the lion's share of possessions in the first half. It was a good, decent game to watch. But Trezeguet stood out for me. Thought he did very well. Sanson, I thought, was excellent. It was great to see him. Unfortunate to see him there with the ice pack when he went off. But, I think he can be proud of his first start. And I think it goes to show that he's a starting kind of player. He struggled to get into it when he came on as a sub. And look, he needed just a little bit of an introduction at that pace of that game. So he's had enough of it now coming off the bench, and it was time. We all felt it was time for him to start, and he did well. I can't fault him at all.
I thought Sensen was very good. Yeah, I thought Trezeguet, you know what? There was a couple of the periods in the first half as well where you could see Trezeguet and Traore working through the middle, because Watkins had to do an awful lot and he's only ended up being caught out in the wings. And you could see that. Now, they weren't far forward enough, but they were, you know, if Wolves won the ball back, they were being met by a Trezeguet or a Traore in the middle, where Ross Barkley would play. Sansan did drift out to the wings a small bit, not as much as I would have thought he would have done, but he did. His heat map was actually, do you know what? He played very, very similar to where Ross Barkley would play. Actually, he played very, very similar to where Jack Grealish would play, because he was predominantly out in that left wing, and he was further forward. He didn't stand next to Ollie Watkins, which is normally where we see Ross Barkley, because that's where he's been tasked with setting up. But Sansan, I thought, was very good. I thought that the triangles that it allowed them to play around players in the middle of midfield, like say Neves and Moutinho, got them moving around the place a good bit, drew Tendonker out a small bit, and it goes to show, as I say, that's how we were able to maneuver him around the field, and he couldn't get into it in the first half. I think Sansan, I don't think it was an injury per se to Sansan. I just think it was the fact that he probably left it all out there. It might have been just a tightness or a little strain or something like that. I don't think it was a tear or anything. I just think it was probably lack of match fitness, maybe, and coming in after, God, nearly 2 months, two and a bit months, it could have just been a small bit of soreness in the back of the legs and the Achilles or whatever. But I would be surprised if he was out, for the upcoming games. I think that's just something that we'll see. But Ross Barkley came on in his stead, and Barkley had a couple of touches of the ball, but once again was a small bit ineffectual. Worrying as well that when Sansan came off, he had almost 50 touches of the ball. Barkley comes on, he only had 15, and when Barkley came on, he was very, very withdrawn. He wasn't, like, Barkley was very withdrawn. We're talking playing back in a wing back role almost.
Yeah, he was, when he was coming on, I was like, okay, this will give us, because at the time we were under the cosh, we spent the first 15 minutes of the second half under the cosh. So I figured that was just a change in game plan. He'd play him up closer to Watkins and try and, put them on the back foot, but it just never happened. You said he only had 15 touches, and one of them very nearly gifted them a goal as well.
Yeah.
So, largely ineffective. I think he's struggling. I don't know whether he's struggling fitness wise or confidence wise, but there's definitely a struggle there. So, I don't know where we're at with him, whether it's even worthwhile nurturing it even more or giving any chances, unless we need to, because we seem to have replacements there that are working harder in Ramsey and now Sansan. These are our players. We've got to nurture them. We got to play them. By all means, throw him in there if he's needed or if people need a break. But I think at this stage now where Europe is going to be a tough ask, that, we use our own players here now to nurture and grow them and get into the system for next season to push on. I don't envisage that Barkley will be someone that we open the checkbook for in the summer. No. I could be wrong. We could be missing something that he's doing in training but to us it just looks like it's not working for him since he got injured. I wish to God it did. I don't wish bad on him by any means. I'd love to see him come on and get a few goals for us for the end of the season and really show his early form. But I just can't see it happening now.
I thought, I was the same as you. I thought when he was brought on, Paddy, that he was going to be that guy that would, as I mentioned, Watkins was drifting out left and right, and he was picking the ball up and he was taking it down the channels. He was dragging defenders. And we mentioned that Trezeguet and Bertrand Traore were finding themselves at times in centrally. And I thought when Barkley came on that he might be the guy to be found in centrally, that if Watkins was out there, it would give him something to aim maybe across at. Barkley scored a header against Southampton. He was in that position, that we were crying out for somebody yesterday. and it just never materialized. I was actually quite blown away by how deep he was receiving the ball in comparison to how he's done it this year. It just hasn't been his game. Whenever we've seen him that deep, bar the Arsenal game at the start of the season, the first Arsenal game where he ran through them like a dose of salts at times, he was fantastic with Jack Grealish there. We haven't seen him be able to get turned in midfield when he's that far back. You know, he seems a bit heavy-footed when he's back closer to his own goals, especially if he's receiving the ball with his back to the opposing goal off the defenders. You just never, like, I'm never confident he can get turned on the ball quick enough to get around. I still think we'll see another two or three good performances for Barkley. I just wish it didn't just completely fall off a cliff for him. I'd prefer if he was given six or seven out of 10 performances and maybe not getting goals or assists. Yeah. And then we're having that discussion, but it's fallen off a cliff for him at the moment. And that's not to say that he doesn't play himself back into form. In fairness to Dean Smith, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to play. I don't think Smith wants to play 4-3-3 as much as he is. I think he's been forced to play 4-3-3 without Jack, but Ross Barkley just—he isn't the guy to play in that 4-3-3. Mm. He needs to play in the 4-2-3-1.
I think the absence of Jack also highlights that fact as well, that Jack gives him so much time on the ball as well, because everybody is sucked into Jack. So I think the long and the short of it is, here we're missing Jack Grealish, and like any team would miss Jack Grealish. So We just got to hope and pray that we get him back on the pitch this week and playing next weekend, because I think, as much as I hate saying this at this stage, I think we need to go and beat Newcastle to have any hope of keeping the flame burning, I suppose, for Europe. I know anything is possible, but we're 3 points behind Liverpool with 2 games in hand. If you said that at the start of the season, you'd be scratching your head, wouldn't you?
You'd be thinking, Champions League has come out of nowhere. You know, that's what you'd be thinking.
But that just shows how tight it is, you know. They're still saying Liverpool have a chance of Champions League if they get their act together. But then again, we've no chance, you know. Well, it's gas.
Absolutely, yeah. I've seen that as well. I'm trying to think as well, Paddy, you know, in that second half. So let's move on to the second half. And I suppose really the two pieces of the game that we want to talk about in the second half were the two centre halves misses, I think. I'm going to call it the save of the season from Emi Martinez off Conor Cody. That save will never, ever, ever get enough credit for what it was. Conor Cody should have been putting his laces through it. I think it just kind of fell behind him, and he tried to, because he's good with his feet, you know, he was confident enough to try and make that little touch. Don't think it was a miss kick, but my God, what a reaction from Emi Martinez. Because most of the times you get down there, you throw a foot at it, it hits off your foot, bounces off Conor Cody and goes back over your head into the goals. He gets his hand down to it and flicks it around the post intentionally. My God. It was like
that was sensational.
I've not seen a save as good as that this year. It's just brilliant.
Absolutely, Jesus! We're running out of words to describe this guy, but it's, you know, he would get into any team in the league, I think, at this stage. He's got to be the best goalkeeper in the league, and we have just suffered so badly at the hands of goalkeeper, our own goalkeepers, pardon the pun, their hands. But I think, you know, I heard someone say today on the radio, I think, how many points would we have not picked up without Martinez? I think our current position is a lot down to him, you know, some of the inspired days he had. When you consider that, Even though we say the West Ham game is the only game where he looked off it, you know, it's the only game he made mistakes in. So that's some turnaround from what we're used to the last 5 years of coming and going between goalkeepers that we just can't trust, you know. Mm. So it's phenomenal to have him there. We've a completely different conversation today, and we've been beaten yesterday if it wasn't for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And Wolves should have definitely taken one of their chances anyway. Ball into the back post, and I think it was Neto with a lovely cross, an Ahmed El Mohamedy-esque cross from deep, yeah. And right on the money. Our line moved out. They were miles off. He was miles onside. Connor Cody goes in at the back post, gets a header, comes off the butt of the post, and ricochets across the goal line. Once again, how that doesn't hit Emi Martin isn't going to the back of the net. We were blessed in that instance. And then it falls to Romain Saiss, who somehow gets his absolute pitching wedge underneath it and drives it up and well over the bar. That's a physical anomaly. Whatever physical anomaly Martinez played to get his hand down to the first shot, that was a physical anomaly in geometry as well, the way that it hit off his foot and went up and over. And I felt that I felt it was going to be a nil-all draw after that, because I felt that while Wolves had gotten a better foothold in the game, those two chances were very much akin to our two chances in the first half, the two Ollie Watkins, or the Watkins chance and the Konsa chance as well. And I think that the football and gods equaled those out. And after that happened, I was 100% sure it was going to be a nil-all draw at that stage. I think both teams kind of cut their losses. Yeah, Paddy's just good. Yeah, but he was the good.
Sorry, I'm having an internet meltdown here. I don't know what's wrong. You just stood still there for about 30 seconds, so I wasn't sure whether you were gone. Sure. Or not.
No, I was just saying.
Enjoys a lockdown, huh?
I know. I was just saying that I think both teams cut their losses after those two chances, but we could have won it again at the death. A corner, and it fell to Ezri Konsa. And in fairness, he struck it pretty sweetly. And on a snapshot, I think even if you were a striker, I think you'd still be happy with your effort in that instance. And it just goes up and it just goes wide. And there's no way that the man in the post was going to put his head on it, because it was one of those half volleys. And for me, I was going, they're the ones that like at the start of the season, Konsa hits that and it's 10 inches lower. And it goes into the back of the net, and we're gone. We robbed another one. We robbed another 3 points.
And let's face it, a draw is a fair result. I think that would have been a smash and grab, to be fair. A lot of people are, losing their shit after the game. I wasn't. They got themselves together after halftime, and we bossed the first half. They bossed the second half. We cancelled each other out. We defended well. We played okay. We got a point where ordinarily, I know we keep saying this, last year we wouldn't have got a point out of it. I have no doubt about that at all. And people keep referencing it, and I know it annoys people to listen to it, but it is true. It is true. And I think we can just be happy with what we got yesterday. And, I think I said in the preview I'd be happy enough with a draw. So I certainly didn't lose any sleep last night over our performance.
Yep. I think
Wolves are a good side. They're missing their two best players. They sold one and one injured, and then Pedence being out injured was a big loss to them as well. So, I thought they were there for the taking in the first half. Unfortunately, we didn't get the goal that we needed to be able to shut up shop. But look, that's the madness of the Premier League this year.
Wolves are a team of internationals. Like, people forget that. Like, Rui Patricio is one of the best Portuguese goalkeepers ever. You've got the likes of Dendoncker, international, Romain Saiss international, Connor Cody recently an international, Nelson Semedo played for a couple of years at Barcelona, still highly thought of, probably wouldn't have been let go from Barcelona only for financial constraints. Johnny, Ruben Neves, when Neves moved to Wolves, it was a big eye-opener. That was the one that really put Wolves in the map, and that was the one that got people talking about Jorge Mendes. Moutinho, obviously, as well. Well-decorated player. Neto, up-and-coming Portuguese star, shall I say. One game, one goal for Portugal. William Jose, yes, older guy, kind of finding his feet. Brazilian. Barcelona tried to sign him the January previous to that. Adama Traore, Spanish international. And then Fabio Silva, great white hope of Portuguese football as well. But they're not mugs. They're just going, they should be higher in the league table than we are. You look down through our team and there's one, there's two, there's three, There's four, there's five, there's six. There's six internationals on our starting 11, whereas every player on the Wolves starting 11 is an international. You know, so let's not get lost in the crosshairs there, you know, with that one. Plus, they also have Nuno Espirito Santo, one of the most respected tactical coaches in European football as well. So Wolves are having a down season, yes, because they're missing one or two players. But we do, like, to get a nil-all draw against Wolves, even if it is at home, even though we're even though they're having a down season. Look, we're missing our best player, one of the best players we've ever had in our club. You know, that cancels out both Diego Jota and Raul Jimenez for the importance to our club. So, you know, perspective is a fantastic thing. My perspective is going to be different to somebody else's, and that's absolutely cool too. But I'm happy with the nil-all draw. I suppose the problem that I have, and a problem I can understand what people having, is the Jekyll and Hyde performance from one half to the next. Very Burnley-esque, except we didn't concede. So that's the consistency we got to strive for and we got to look for, I suppose, as the season winds up and into the coming seasons, if we are going to kick this football club on and get back to potential European football once more. Paddy, who do we give our Laker Sports man of the match to?
Don't know whether you'll agree with me or not, but I would be inclined to give it to Morgan Sanson for a very measured and composed start. I thought he was excellent throughout until either he picked up that injury or they decided that he wouldn't last the full 90 minutes. But I thought he was excellent. I thought he offered us something else, especially in the first half. So, you agree? Very hard not to give it. You can't give it to Emmy every week.
Yeah,
he's probably worth it for that save alone.
I was thinking, yeah, go on, sure, we'll give it to Morgan Sanson. I'm going to have an honorary mention to Akmal Elhamidi. Thought he was really good. You know, he's been the cause of a few goals recently, but I thought he was really good. And you know, credit where credit's due, at 33 years of age, up against a perceived powerhouse and lightning kind of speed merchant in Adama Traore, and as I mentioned, the next big thing in Portuguese football, Pedro Neto as well. You know, I thought El Mohamedy basically showed him who was boss, both of them, when they came down that right-hand side. And I thought that Neto got most of his joy down the left-hand side for us as well. But saying that, Target didn't have a bad game. That's just where he's more comfortable. But yeah, listen, Morgan Sanson, congratulations. The check's in the post. You're a man of the match for the Wolves, the Aston Villa versus Wolves game on the 6th of March 2021. So that's going to do it for us tonight, I think. You can get Paddy on at Villa Paddy. You can get me on at Love McGrath Pod. I do have got a statistical and analytical breakdown of John McGinn versus John McGinn. It's a new article I've put up on www.fortheloveofpaulmcgrath.com. Basically, I wanted to highlight the John McGinn through the years of Aston Villa under Dean Smith. And to be honest with you, it's quite an eye-opening piece. I enjoyed putting it together, and there was a couple of pieces that I wouldn't probably have seen with the naked eye until I actually looked at the statistical analysis, and there was other things obviously that you can say for certain is happening with John McGinn. And I'd really appreciate if you guys could check it out, retweet it, give it a like, whatever, you know, because I think that John McGinn, I think there needs to be discussion about how pivotal he is for this team. Number one, and number two, I suppose, just what John McGinn has meant to Dean Smith since he's become manager for this team. So please check it out. I would really, really appreciate it. Also, thanks to a couple of guys. I want to say a big thanks to Longford Lions again. You know, really, really thankful for everything you're doing for the podcast. I really, really appreciate it. And also to the Fermanagh Lions. I've been reached out to by a couple of the guys there. Ryan from the Fermanagh Lions. I can't believe I forgot your name. but Ryan from the Fermanagh Lions, you asked me about 6 months ago to shout out the podcast. I completely forgot. And then I just remembered it during the week. So I said, I'm definitely not going to do it. I'm not going to forget to do it now. So thanks very much. And thanks to all the Lions clubs out there who have been so good to us throughout the last year and a half that we've been really doing the podcast. So as I say, Wolves nil, Aston Villa nil is how it ended. We're on to the Steve Bruce Derby again next Friday night. It's late game on Friday night. So here's hoping. It'll be really interesting team selection again. Hopefully our leader is back in Jack Grealish. And hopefully we can get back on track again with another 3 points. We will be coming to you, I suppose, probably Tuesday again with a preview show. And until then, guys, stay safe. And all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.